You're in for a real treat. I adopted Pastor Chad about 8 years ago, so he's like one of my sons, and yes, I am old enough to be his dad, and he's just an incredible man of God, and we're just so, he was in town this week, so what a better opportunity for you this morning to get him instead of me. So God bless you, Pastor Chad. We love you. Let's give it up. You're the best.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. Thank you. Hey church, good morning. God bless you all. I was excited to let Pastor Bob sweat it out a little bit. I thought maybe my goal was maybe he would lose some hair, and I'm trying to make disciples. Everybody around me is like, I get excited when they start balding. All my young men that are hanging out with me, I'm like, look, you're getting bald. And they're like, oh, we're not trying to be like you like that. Stop rejoicing that I'm losing my hair. I'm like, I'm just not trying to be alone. So I was whipping down the freeway coming from Dodgers Chapel this morning. And because I knew he was sweating. And so I'm like, oh, I'm flooring it. I'm going in my little Honda as fast as I could. It's shaking. I'm sinning. I'm like, and I, whoa, right past the state patrolman. And I'm like, oh, no, Jesus. I started praying and repenting. And I'm like, Lord, please, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. But there's a word from the Lord. I got to get to church this morning. And he just stayed in his little spot, didn't even see me. I said, I think that was the Holy Ghost. And then covering me while I'm sinning. So I'm right. But I'm doing it for a good reason. I'm coming to church, man. There's a word from the Lord. So I'm flooring it and I'm flying down. Pretty soon I'm like, well, I went right back to speeding after I passed it. I repented and then sped again. So anyways, I'm here and on time. And it's so good to be with you guys this morning, Sunday morning. I'm grateful and I'm juiced up. I'm amped up. We just came off of a phenomenal retreat, our Elevate Remix. Yeah, our Elevate Remix young adult retreat was this past weekend, and we had, I don't know, 300 and something young adults on fire, just passionately going for God. And every time I get in that environment, it always challenges me as a leader to keep going further. I'm reminded every time I'm in the midst of young people that are passionate like that, as a leader, I'm reminded that you can't take people further than you've ever been. And so I'm inspired to continue to go deeper and pursue even more passionately. And then, of course, tonight, as Pastor Bob said, is our Mountain Young Adult Service. And I'm excited to talk about relationships tonight. So I'm preaching a different message. It's going to be a little more of just a real talk session this evening. I'm excited to talk and just get real about relationships this evening. And it's going to be fun. I just heard somebody say, I'm not ready. You're ready. You got to come if you're a young adult, that is. If you're nosy, stay. Just go look online. you can watch online. And then Camp Elevate, our youth camp, is right around the corner. So we're looking to have hundreds and hundreds of young people. It's our 15th year doing Camp Elevate. Of course, we always need scholarships and we always need help and prayer and all that stuff to grab these young people in this city. Take them up to the mountaintop and watch Jesus do his thing in their lives. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to start off like this, like I do chapel every Sunday, whether it's the Steelers or the Dodgers or whatever sports team I'm talking to. I'm preaching five times in 24 hours. This is the second of five, so here we go. All right, I'm going to start off just like this. I say God is good, and you respond with all the time. And then I say all the time, and then you say God is good. All right? Y'all ready? God is good, and all the time, God is good. Father, thank you for that truth that, Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. I pray that this morning, Lord God, you would just bless us. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to articulate your heart. Let us peek in into the mind of God that would allow us an opportunity to see further and go deeper into the promises of your word. I thank you for your word. It is truly life. God, you could have chose anybody to stand here today, but you chose me. You could have given anybody a word, but you gave it to me. And Lord, you could have placed anybody on this assignment, but you gave me the assignment, and I'm grateful to speak to my friends and my family this morning on behalf of your heart. And so, God, I pray that you be glorified, that they would see all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love preaching the word, and I love preaching at CFTN. I'm going to dive right into it, so I'm not going to apologize. We're reading a lot of scripture. Amen. I'm going to get up in the church and start apologizing for reading the Bible. So I'm not sorry that I'm not sorry that we're reading the Bible this morning. All right. So if you have your Bibles, and it'll be on the screen as well if you don't, I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, and it's John chapter 6, and we'll begin reading at verse 32. John chapter 6, and we'll begin reading at verse 32. And when you have it, just holler back at me and say word. All right, y'all are on it. Here we go. My sermon title message this morning is, Where Can I Go? Would you just look at somebody and say, Where can I go? Where can I go? Verse 32, Jesus is speaking to his disciples as he's hearing in the background the gossip of the crowd. Many have followed. He just got through feeding the 5,000. He's worked miracles. He's stepped onto the scene and shown himself strong at this point. And now his disciples enter into a difficult conversation with him. And I want you guys to see this, because if I can work this text out, give you a couple of illustrations and analogies, and hopefully it'll build the point this morning of where can I go? I'm flooded with around my life people that have everything. Everything. Flooded. I have hundreds of people around me all the time that have everything the world has to offer. Yet, I found one thing consistent in all of them, is that none of them are completely fulfilled by everything that the world has to offer. Jesus said to them, verse 32, Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. Verse 35, And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. And that the Father gives me, verse 37, and all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. That's good news this morning. Verse 38, For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Verse 39, This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose. Come on, y'all. I'm going to read it one more time, because I just like to know that you're with me. Verse 39, This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing. Here's what Jesus said. Put a little period right there, a little pause right there. Jesus said, you in your life, you might experience some L's, some losses, but you're bouncing back. Amen. Because he said, you guys know what I'm talking about? Last night I caught an L, but tonight I bounce back. You're bouncing back. You're bouncing back. Look at somebody and say, you're bouncing back. All right, just stay with me here. Jesus, here's why. Because Jesus said, though you might have caught some L's, he said, all I do is win, 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 no matter what. Jesus wins. And the Bible declares that what we give him, if we're courageous enough to bring to him and able to lay down our stuff, that which we commit, we lean and leave our load, what we can carry and get to the feet of Jesus and leave our load at his feet, what we commit to him, he's able to keep. And he said, I never lose what you give me. He said, all I do is win. But should raise it up in the last day, verse 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up in the last day. Verse 41, the Jews then complained about him because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? They're like, wait a minute. I know your mama and your daddy. I know Mary and I know Joseph. You can't be this special son of God. And he goes, how is it then that he says, this is what the Jews are saying. How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. Stop all the rumbling and all the complaining and all the talking. Verse 44, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up in the last day. And it is written in the prophets that all shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Verse 36. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they're dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Forever, ever. Forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh. Oh. This is where it starts getting tight, but right. Which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh, drinks of my blood, has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks of my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he feeds on me will live because of me. Verse 58, this is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever, forever, ever, forever. Verse 59. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Verse 60. Therefore, we're almost there. 11 more verses. Therefore, many of the disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit, big S, Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. Verse 65, and he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, that's my boy. Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Christos, the anointed one, the Son, the one who is sent, the Son of the living God. Verse 70, Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who betrayed him, being one of the 12. Let's look back right here at verse 68. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where can I go? You have the words of life. I love reading the scripture, and I love diving into Jesus' teachings as it relates to his ministry with the disciples, because when Jesus talked to his disciples, it was like another level of, I'm going to punch you, I'm going to have you stand flat-footed and take it right in the chin, because I've got something to say to you. And I love it when people talk to me direct. I hate the guessing game. Don't you hate it when people are like, you should have caught that. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight, but that's, you know, in the whole communication thing. But you know, just say it. Say what you mean. Don't expect me to get something and to be hurt because I didn't understand what you were saying. I don't know. I'm a man. Just tell me what I'm supposed to do. Just tell me and I'll do it. Amen? And so Jesus is straightforward with his disciples. And he's challenging his disciples because there's this debate and there's all this stuff going on and there's all this ruckus and all this fame and all this cheer and all this fanfare going on about Jesus. There's a crowd following, there's disciples following, there's a core following, and there's a devil following. There's all this stuff around him. And he's like, look, I want to tell you something. If you're going to follow me, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And they're like, what? I'm not trying to nibble on Jesus' toe. I'm not trying to drink his blood. What is this? And I mean, literally, they go, what? This dude's crazy. And here's what Jesus is saying, church, listen. Here's what Jesus is saying. That if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to partake in what my body is about to partake and what my blood represents. You're going to have to crucify some stuff in your life. You're going to have to go through some things in your life and still trust me. You're going to have to face some fears with your chest stuck out, with the courageous heart that God gives you and only he can give you through his spirit and by his word. He said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to drink and you're going to have to eat of this body and this blood. Man, it's powerful because there's so many people that fall off, and we'll deal with that in just a minute. But there's so many people that I've seen as I work with professional athletes, and I've done, you know, everybody's like, oh, you're a professional athlete, pastor. It's so cool. And I'm like, yeah, it's cool. But all I do is I still do youth ministry. I've been doing youth ministry. So people ask me, what do you do? I do youth ministry. I know I work with adults, but I do youth ministry. I know they're rich, but I do youth ministry. I've been doing youth ministry for 20 years. All it is now is just youth ministry on steroids. And I'm not saying like literally like shooting up, but I'm just saying like literally like in terms of all the stuff that's coming their way, all the stuff that is at their fingertips, and the inherent and the basic baseline need is still the same, Jesus. So what do I do? I preach in the NFL locker room and I preach in the Dodgers clubhouse just like I do to my young people. It's the same exact approach because everybody has the same need. We all need Jesus. Amen. And so I want to just talk to you for a minute because here's Jesus' challenge to his disciples is he asks them a question. He goes, do any of you want to leave? You're in church this morning. I know you're in church, but do you want to leave? I'm not talking about leave church. Do you want to leave Jesus? Because everything in the world is designed and organized after you came to Jesus. Everything under the earth fought you to get here. Everything under the earth, not just this morning, but in your life, everything has been fighting you to make sure that you don't come to a revelation knowledge of the Son of God being the Lord and Savior of your life. Because when you do, you step into power, you step into purpose, and you have the opportunity to become the best you that God had in mind from the beginning, before the world was even framed, before you were formed in your mother's womb. God's idea of your life was the best you, the you that He created. So all of the underworld, all of the evil powers in this world fight and organize game plans and sit together to make sure that there's an organized plan against your life to keep you from becoming the you that God sees in His mind and God's heart pants after. And so I ask you the question. Do you want to leave? 5 tests to know, and I'm going to fumble through some more scripture here. There's 5 tests I came up with to know if you are in the faith, based upon all out of 1 John. Number one, y'all ready to give a spiritual vital sign? We're going to give spiritual vital signs this morning. I'm checking your blood pressure. We're checking your pulse. We're checking your cholesterol. We're checking your spiritual vital signs to see if your heart's beating. Here's 5 tests to know if you are with Christ. Number one, have you confessed Jesus Christ as Lord? I'm gonna prove it to you from the Bible. If you're a follower of Jesus, here's how you know you're with Him. Have you confessed Him? Chapter 3, verse 9. Well, let me read verse 8 because this is gets a little thick. John he's throwing some dimes at us. Chapter 3, verse 8 says this: He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Somebody say amen right there. Because when you heard "he who sins is of the devil," you just went, "oh God." But Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And then verse 9 says, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Have you confessed? John is not talking about the act of sin. John is talking about the nature of sin. When Jesus Christ came and you have placed your faith and trust in Him, the perfect payment, the substitutionary death, meaning you deserve to die on the cross, but instead Jesus took your place. When you put your faith and trust in the fact that God has shed His blood, perfectly paid it for us, when you put your faith and your trust in Him, the Bible says, have you confessed? If you've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, you put your faith and trust in Him. Is He Lord? Is He Lord? Chapter 4, verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. You're in Him and He's in you. You're in Christ, and this is the blessing, He's in you. Sometimes we focus way too much on our ability to be good or not. Come on, somebody. I'm helping you this. I'm trying to help you this morning. Because a lot of us are so focused on our ability or our inability to be good. And that determines on what your disposition on whether or not you're with Jesus. And if you're with Jesus, when I'm good, I'm with Jesus. But when I'm bad, I'm not with Jesus. When I'm good, I'm with Jesus. When I'm bad, I'm not with Jesus. I got to give you guys an illustration in just a second. But I want to get through these 5 points. You have to understand that God is the only good. He's the only one good. And when you understand that He's the only one good, you'll jump in Him a whole lot more. And you will not run from God when you're in sin or when you're going through a hard time. You'll learn, if you have correct thinking about God and about His word, sound doctrine, right thinking about the word. If you have good thinking and good theology in your life, you will learn that you run to God in everything. Even in your mistakes. Because God's not mad and He's not casting you out of His presence. Jesus took the wrath of God on the cross for you and for me. And so because of that, the cross invites us into his presence. Every time we go through something, every time we fall, we should not turn from God, but we should turn to God. Amen? You got to check your pulse. Check your pulse. Because the enemy's working hard, especially if you're saved, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus. He's working overtime to make that principle alive in your life, where you turn away from God instead of to God. Run to life. Run to the bread of life. The next one is obedience to God over convenience. Oh, I'm going to read it like this. Obedience to God over convenience. Next vital sign, 1 John 5:3 says this. It says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments, listen, are not burdensome." People go, "Man, I got to serve God. I mean, I got to do this thing for Jesus. I got to start living for Jesus. I got to stop doing this, and I got to stop doing that, and I got to start being obedient to Jesus." And you just got your arms folded and mad, and your lip poked out because you're trying to be obedient to God. You don't understand God. His commandments are not burdensome. His yoke is easy and his load is light. God gives us grace to be able to run this race for him, set before us with endurance. He gives us the strength to press towards the mark of a high calling in him. Check your pulse. If you're more about serving God in convenience or following God in convenience when it's convenient for you, like, "I'll do those things, but I don't want to do those things." So if it's contingent upon your decision, your fellowship of Christ, obedience, ask yourself the question, am I obedient to God or am I just convenient with God? Keep going. Next one, we covered it. Are you happy in sin? If you're happy in sin, I already looked at that text. "Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God." Verse 9 of chapter 3, 1 John. He says, look, here's another test. If you're happy sitting nestled in to your sinning life, if you're happy there, then you're probably not alive in Christ. Listen to me. Because Jesus, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit's role in our life is to convict the world of sin. That's what he said. He said, "I'm sending my spirit into the world so that the world would be convicted of sin." Why? Not because God's up there shaking his hand and pointing down from a throne high and mighty and looking down on these whack little people that don't understand and they're so messed up and God, and you just keep on, and he's pointing out all your wrongdoing in your life. No. Because he knows that sin eventually gives birth to more sin, and sin eventually leads to death. And God wants you to live, eat of his bread. It's the bread of life. And so he won't allow you. I'm sorry. We're all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But if you're alive in Christ, you cannot stay in sin and be happy with it. And you know what? Listen, it should be good news to us this morning. I got to a place where anybody that I disciple to, I tell them all the time, listen, if you're getting convicted, you should rejoice. Because that means God's got a tight rope on you. And I'm like, "Lord, shorten that leash on me." Because I know I'll go far if you let it out. So keep that leash on me. Amen. And so you know you're in Christ if you're convicted when you're in sin. Another one, keep yourself from evil. 1 John 5:18 says this: "We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him." Here's what he says: you won't just continue snooping around and poking your nose and sticking your feet into evil stuff. God will give you, this is the word, discernment. Everybody say discernment. He'll give you discernment. There's wisdom when you walk with Jesus. There's wisdom and you understand, man, I've seen some stuff play out already. You're not going to just fall into traps. I already know how that's getting ready to shake out. And so I'm not going to go there because the Lord has already shown me how it's going to work out. Amen. Let's keep going. That's a byproduct of you being alive in Christ, John says. That you keep yourself from evil. Here's the next one. This is a good one right here. Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot also loves him, who is begotten of him. Here he goes. Whoever believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God. Here's what he says. I like the New King James Version, but he says basically, if you're his, then you're going to love those who are his. Now, this is a challenge for some of us who serve in ministry. Because I learned real quick, Pastor Bob, sheep bite. And them bites hurt. I don't care if them teeth are dull or not. Sheep bites hurt. And sheep also do some other stuff, some other bodily functions that you got to clean up. And it's real easy, amen? It's real easy that when we serve and when we do life in Christ, it's easy for us not to like God's people. Jesus says, in me, you love others. Now, it's easy to love the world when you're in Christ. Because everybody gets a get-out-of-jail-free pass. Like, oh, man, they're just in the world. They're not saved. They don't know Jesus. But the challenge from John in this is that do you love God's people? Because just like the redemption from the cross came to you, it also should be extended out to people. I always say this all the time. The cross goes two ways. It goes up to God, restoring our relationship back to God. And it goes out to men, restoring our relationships back to men. Y'all do some church aerobics this morning. Ready? Here it goes. It goes up to God. And this is where you get to hit the person that you've been frustrated with all morning. And it goes out to man. All right, ready one more time. It goes up to God and it goes out to man. Come on, y'all say it with me. It goes up to God and out to man. That's the cross. It's not just vertical redemption. It's also horizontal redemption. Listen to me. If you think you're in Jesus and you don't love people, something's wrong with your Jesus. Your connection with Jesus. Amen? Amen. And so I need some volunteers. I'm done with that piece to see if you're with Jesus. Give me like, I don't know, just 5, 6, 7, whatever volunteers. Pastor Bob, I need you, man. You look like Jesus this morning. Come on. Pastor Bob looks like Jesus this morning. Come on. Pastor Bob's going to be Jesus. Can you get up here? Here you go. We're going to crucify him up on the hill. You get up here. This is Easter play. You haven't done this since you were a little kid. This is the Easter play. All right. So you got, there you go. There's Jesus. You know, put your legs together now. You're dying on the cross. Boom. Now die on the cross. Die on the cross. All right. So, okay. So you guys get the picture. Now, my man here, here's where it is. He is in Jesus. He's close, man. He's spiritual. He's righteous. He prays every day. He serves at the church all the time. He's witnessing to everybody he's around. He's close, man. This brother right here, though, man, he's got some issues. He's got stuff he needs to deal with. He's far from Jesus. David's got some issues he got to work out in his life. You can put your arms down, Pastor Bob. He's going to work you out too much. Brenda. She goes to church. She comes with Pastor Kwame all the time. She's been raised in church her whole life. She's super close, actually. She's really close. Deja, she comes every once in a while when she can wake up on time. But she's close. Now watch this. I want you to see this. All different proximities to Jesus. Don't cheat, Deja. All different proximities to Jesus. But guess who's in? David's in. And my man right here is in. These two, out. You want to know why? Because no matter how far David is from God, no matter how far it seems like he is from coming close to God, he is facing Christ. Brenda is close. She's almost within his reach. She's been in church her whole life. She's seen God move. But her face is turned away. My man, yeah, You could search all, you could excavate his life. He hardly has any sin in his life. He's, man, this dude is righteous. It's a righteous brother. You want him praying. For the prayers of fervent, effectual prayers of the righteous availeth much. Pray for me, bruh. He's close. But he's no closer than David. He's no closer than David just because his life looks a little bit better than David's life. The only thing that makes them the same, the only thing that makes them close is the fact that they're facing Jesus. Deja's out. Deja's closer than David. Deja's closer than David, but she's out. You want to know why? Because her face is not turned towards the Master. All that matters in this whole thing, in your proximity to Jesus, if you're in, quote unquote, in, are you in Christ? Is your face set on him? You guys give it up for my... Is it set? Is it set? Not is your life perfect? Thanks, Pastor Bob. You haven't done that for like 50 years, huh? The Easter play? He's like, and your arms are sore now. Is your face set? I'm going to bring this thing to a close. But there's four different people in this text. There are four different people in this text. As you look at John chapter 6, and we look at it, and you see that there are four different people mentioned in the text. One, the first one is the crowd. The crowd is the one watching. You're checking it out. Listen, you might find yourself in one of these. It's the crowd. You're checking it out. You're just looking. You're looking around to see. But here's the thing. The Bible says that only the Father can reveal the Son to you. It is God's work to remove the scales from your eyes so that you're able to see Jesus. Here, personal testimony. Y'all want to hear a personal? So, okay, I'm going to get very honest with you. My dad, I was the first Christian in my family that was living for Jesus. Not the first one to ever hear the gospel, but the first one who ever truly responded and turned my face towards him. Here's the situation. My dad was so hard towards God. I got saved at 17 in his house at a Fellowship of Christian Athletes football and basketball camp. I went to play ball, and then Jesus grabbed me right where I was. And I feel like David, where can I go from your presence? Everywhere I go, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I'm lifted up, you're there. Everywhere, every corner I turn, I'm finding Christ. I go to Bible college. I end up moving to Bible college, and I'm in Jesus, man. I'm serving. I'm praying. I prayed for my dad. Listen. For 17 years of my adult life, I prayed for my dad. Because when you would talk to him about Jesus, when you talked to him about God, his forehead would wrinkle up. He'd bite his tongue like, and it was just like, oh my, our shoulders would clench up. It was like, man, what's going on? It was hard for him to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. More than that, it was hard for him to believe that God is good. I would share with him the gospel, the good news that Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died a horrible death. If you put your faith and trust in him, he'll save you. Amen? And I would share that with him, but he would just clench up. And I would leave, and I would be so discouraged. And I would weep in the presence of God over my daddy's salvation. For 17 years. I wore holes in my pants praying for my dad. I mean, literally, I was on my knees so much before the Father asking him to save my dad. Because I realized there's nothing that I can do. You can't twist somebody's ear. You can't twist their arm. You can't drag anybody to Jesus. You can't scare anybody into the kingdom. If God's going to save somebody, it's got to be because he's revealing himself. He's opening the eyes of somebody to the Father. Amen. There's no way that they can see Jesus unless God reveals the fact that Jesus came and lived and died and was rose on the third day for the power over sin and death. There's no way that can happen. And you understand that and you come to faith in him without God revealing that truth to you. Amen? And so I prayed and prayed and prayed. I prayed and prayed and prayed. And I watched. as my dad, you see, here's a little personal part of it. My parents were high school sweethearts. My dad was 17 years old when he saw his dad. He caught his dad having an affair on his mother. And he went back to his mom, my grandmother. When my dad was a junior in high school, went back to his mom. Well, first off, he told his dad, "I hate you. I never want to see you again." And he goes to his mom, tells his mom. Mom packs up. Him and my dad's little sister, they pack up. They're getting ready to leave. My dad's dad gets drunk, comes back, says, "You're not leaving. If you're leaving, we're all leaving." Tries to kill his mom, my dad's mom. They get away. Long story short, my dad's dad drives up the side of the hill in Colorado, gets a gun, sticks it in his mouth, and blows his head off. From the age of 17, my dad blamed himself over and over and over. My mom said that when that took place, my dad went into his room and didn't come out for 2 weeks. Can you imagine how the enemy was grinding in his mind? Grinding over and over and over and over. Long story short is because my dad went in, when it got tough, he went into that room, slammed the door. That's how he lived life for the rest of his life. Every time stuff got tough, every time it was a difficult moment, a difficult decision, a difficult discussion, he would go into the room and slam the door. And eventually it caused my mom and his marriage. Because people, you have to be able to deal emotionally when stuff gets tough. You have to be able to face stuff when it's hard. And my dad ended up in a situation where he was hard towards God. So if you find it easy, I realized through this ministering to my dad that some people just don't find it easy to believe in Jesus. It's tough. And my heart goes out to you. If you struggle with doubt, if you struggle with that whole concept or that whole match, if you're in that wrestling match, my heart goes out to you. Just don't leave him. Face him. Because he wants to reveal himself to you. And if you're someone who's like, "Oh, I believe Jesus easy," then you need to thank God that it's easy for you to trust Jesus. Amen? Because people are in a battle. Pray for my dad over and over and over and over. And pretty soon my dad gets sick. He had diabetes pretty much his whole life. Pretty soon he fell off his truck. He got gangrene in his foot. They cut off his toes. Then it went from his toe to his foot. Then it went from his foot to his knee. Then it went from his knee to his leg, his hip. And then they started on the other leg. And I'm sitting here watching my dad, who was my coach, my buddy, my sports partner. As a young man, I'm watching him get devoured. And it was like, it just gutted me. It was, oh God. Because here I am, been ministering to my dad for all these years about God being good. He's already hard, and now he's like going through this situation. How can God be good? And I'm sitting there one night, and I'm praying, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, "Chad, you're mourning over his body, but I'm going for his heart." Listen to me. God wasn't chopping my dad up. You know what God was doing? He was drilling through a shell because he needed him to be saved. Because God heard my prayers. It is the will of God that none perish, but that all come to repentance. It is also a powerful principle that you pray and don't stop. Don't give up on anybody in your family or anybody that you have a desire to want to be saved. Anybody that you want to see saved, pray. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to reveal the Father to him. And God can do it. Before my dad passed away, about a year before, we were sitting in the hospital after his fourth heart attack. I'm sitting there, and it was the strangest thing, because after every surgery and after every heart attack, you just see him get a little light and a little more receptive of the gospel. And every time I'm going, "This is crazy." But I'm watching God minister to his heart, and I asked him, it was nearing. We knew the end was near. I said, "Dad, do you know Jesus? Do you want to know Jesus? I've been preaching to you forever. I've been praying for you forever. Do you want to know Jesus?" He goes, "Yeah, son." And I was like, "Oh my God, I wasn't ready." I was like, I thought he was going to say, "Get out of here. I'm sick of that." Blank, 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 blank. You know? He said, "Yeah, son." I said, "Well, do you want to pray and ask him into your heart to be Lord of your life?" He goes, I did. I said, "You did?" Well, he goes, at least it was like a little kid, man. It was so precious. He goes, "Well, at least I tried. I don't know if I did it right." And I sat there and I said, "No, Dad. If you meant it, then he came into your heart. And if your heart was right, if you meant it, you didn't have to say the right words. If you meant it, you're saved. And my dad went on to be with Jesus about a year later, and I've been overwhelmed by the assurance from the Holy Spirit over and over and over. I don't have time to tell you everything, but I'll tell you this, that God kept on giving me dream after dream after dream after dream after dream after dream after dream. And every dream, listen, my dad had legs, he had hair, he was full of strength, and I knew that God was proving to me, Chad, I just want to show you something. First off, I want to make you assured that your dad's in heaven. Number two, I want to make sure that you know none of your prayers are in vain. Don't stop praying. Look at somebody and say, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. The next one is, there was another crowd, and that was the disciples that left. The disciples that left. There were disciples. How is it that disciples could be, listen, how could disciples be with him, watch him do all these miracles, watch him do everything? It's Brenda standing here close to Jesus, but turning her back on him. How can you be in a house of bread and not eat? How can you be hungry and the table's served, but you don't even lift up a fork to put anything in your mouth? How is it that Jesus' disciples who saw him work miracles over and over and over and saw his heart, saw his goodness, saw his mercy, saw his grace on display, saw the Father displayed, but still walked away? And you know what it is there? Here's what I think it is. I think it's because they got to a place where it got tough. And when it got tough, instead of the tough get going, they left. And so Jesus turns the next group and he says, look to his core. And I'm done right here. But he looks at Peter and he goes, Peter, his disciples, hey, do you guys want to go too? Because they're walking. I know it's tough. I know this thing ain't going to be simple. It's going to be hard to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. It's going to be hard to go through some of this stuff in this world, in this life, full of pestilence and full of peril and full of trial and tribulation, but still trust me and live for me. It's going to be tough. But listen, they're walking. Do you want to walk too? And Peter answers and he goes, Lord, where can I go? I don't know where to go. Where can I go? You have the words of life. Man, this thing went off in my soul when I was reading it, because that is me. That lets me know. When Peter goes, where can I go? Question. That lets me know that he had contemplated it before. Do I turn away from the call? Do I take the convenient and easy road, or do I trust God and be obedient to his word in my life? Where can I go? If you've jumped in the world and every time you were reminded, every single time you go back, this thing has nothing for me. This thing, it can't even shake a stick at how good God is. There's nothing in the world that can match up to the goodness of God and the will of God. My question for you this morning, church, I'm done. But where can we go? He has the words of life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that this morning, the challenge from your throne, from heaven this morning is very clear. Lord, there's going to be things in our life that cause us to want to walk. But God, I pray for strength for my friends. I pray for strength for my brothers and sisters. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that the name that's above every other name would not just work, but that, Lord God, you would show yourself strong. And as you show yourself strong in our life, as we continue to do your will, God, may you prove yourself over and over and over and over and over again. God, I love the way you love to show up in our life. And I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning that if they're tired or weary, God, that this morning we would just say, Lord, I'm coming to you because I know that what I give to you, you're able to keep. So, Lord, I feel you drawing us no matter where we are. I pray that those people that had their back turned, that they're turning to you again. I pray that people that are far off, if they're far off, they stay face towards you. God, I pray that those that are close would be encouraged and strengthened this morning to keep drawing closer. For this morning, God, we look to you. You have the words of life. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Can we give God just a big hand praise as we stand to our feet? As we stand to our feet this morning, I'm going to let you guys...